This is Mae Brussel, and it is tape number 852, April the 4th, 1988. The top story of the past week, of course, has been the resignations in the Justice Department of six people after they failed to oust Attorney General Edwin Meese. A large article was printed in the San Jose Mercury, top justice officials quit posts, and this kind of story did make all the wire services and talk shows. It had to do with those people that preferred to leave the Justice Department rather than to deal with what is going on under Edwin Meese, and what is going on has also been shared in the newspaper for a long, long time. The number two man in the Justice, Deputy Attorney General Arnold Burns, left the department, and the criminal division head, William Weld, also left, and Weld's aides, Mark Robinson and Jane Serene, left, and Burns' aides, Randy Levine and Boykin Rose, left the Justice Department. Now, at the time that Edwin Meese was suggested, nominated to be Attorney General, I did quite a few broadcasts on that subject. For those of you who don't have the tapes, they're available. Those of you that have them, I'll remind you which ones. Number 639, March 7th, 1984, 641, March 19th, 1984, and 643, April the 2nd, 1984. I updated those during the past 4 years when it was appropriate, and given a certain amount of time to talk about Ed Meese, I could be doing that almost every hour of the week. But I went into the details of Ed Meese's corruption just through the brief articles that came out at the time, and his links to Operation Chaos, to the FBI COINTELPRO program, his appointments for important people in the Department of Motor Vehicles, in the Home Savings and Loan, and in the Census Bureau, and Meese's role in helping steal Jimmy Carter's papers so that Reagan could get elected in 1980. This was going on, and by passing all the tests and giving a nice debate in front of Jimmy Carter, Edwin Meese then moved into the White House and became the chief of staff for the president and then attorney general. I cited a lot of California relations that they had, Meese and Ronald Reagan, the California mafia, and also various appointments and connections that Meese had that were controversial, involving his friend Dr. Earl Bryan, the head of biotech company. 16,000 of Meese's money went to biotech, Bryan's long friend, and he was investing in this company that had to do with genetic engineering, genetic testing, and went into a tangled web of the relationship of Ursula Meese and Edwin Meese to Dr. Earl Bryan, who was former head of health and welfare under Ronald Reagan in California. And now in the past month, Dr. Earl Bryan, as controversial as he is and was, just bought United Press International and can serve the Meeses and the people that he wants through the papers that he prints, articles he prints, through the UPI services. As a matter of fact, I mentioned Meese's role in controlling the news, the news media, and now this gentleman from the biotechnology field is the head of one of the major wire services for the United States and for the world. And, of course, there's another long article in the L.A. Times, March 24th, Meese's personal finances being probed by McKay, and it goes into the investments that Meese made. And even though the special prosecutor, James McKay, said he hasn't found any criminal activity so far, there are a lot of suggestions of payback and for contracts that were given. And Meese owned stock, $14,000 worth of stock in a company called Baby Bell when he eased the court restrictions on that company. And when contracts went to the controversial WedTech Corporation, money came back to Meese's account through what he called was a blind trust. And, of course, his friend Mr. Wallach, the attorney from San Francisco, is the key person into all the financial shenanigans that are going on with the Meeses. And every day there seems to be a new one. In fact, one of the articles referred to it as the Chinese torture, one more drop of water every day. The Wall Street Journal had an editorial titled Ursula Meese and Others, and they tried to compare the problems that are allegedly tied or are tied to Edwin Meese now to the fact that 73 members of the House and Senate have members of their family working in paid jobs for other congressmen. And, of course, this story came out of UPI, the very press service that Dr. Earl Bryan bought, the very close associate of the Mises. And the Wall Street Journal knows better than to put this kind of a story in, because it's a non sequitur that has nothing at all to do with the Mises problem. And Mr. Boschwitz, the senator from Minnesota, came on television this weekend with the same argument that congressmen need some special investigator to go into their crimes. And the listing of 73 people in the House and Senate whose members of families worked for 73 other senators isn't the point at all. Because if the other senators were giving money back to the person whose family member worked for them, then it would be a subject of interest. If you have the son of one delegate or congressman or wife of one person, like in California, Edith Wilkie, the wife of Representative Don Edwards, works for the Arms Control and Foreign Policy Caucus, and she worked for Congress before her husband's election. If the Arms Control and Foreign Policy Caucus put $70,000 into the account of Congressman Don Edwards, then you would have something which is similar. It's not similar if the relative isn't making an extra profit in what's a blind trust from where their mate or son or daughter is working. But it is a cute trick. And if you can get away with it, the Wall Street Journal knows better. They'll try and get away with it, and so will UPI. Another big controversy regarding Ursula Mises' funds has been exposed in the paper. Ursula Mises' job records, they want to subpoena those, the special prosecutor, because first she was working in 1982, a job gotten for her by the William Moss Institute Foundation in Dallas. That job came after the scandal that Edwin Meese was short of funds, and this job had been procured by a person they knew, the William Moss Institute, that could easily be a CIA front or handout for government fronts. And since 1985, she's been working in Washington, D.C., in what they call the National Capital Chapter of Multiple Sclerosis. And, of course, the money doesn't come from the Multiple Sclerosis Society. It comes from the Bender family, who owns the Blake Construction Company that operates the Bender Foundation. So they've been paying her money and her job there. Her early job for the William Moss Institute was procured for her by Robert Keith Gray, described in the Washington Post and San Jose Mercury March the 30th. Robert Keith Gray runs a public relations firm that I've talked about before, and Robert Gray worked under Henry Kissinger and George Bush on Task Force 157 with Edwin Wilson, an operation that set up hundreds of dummy fronts under the guise of Navy intelligence, and also was instrumental in playing a role in the murder of Salvador Allende in Chile. Robert Keith Gray was the pal that got Ursula Mises one job at the Moss Institute, and now her money is coming from this multiple sclerosis organization. And the salary was set up by Mr. Wallach. He had a finger in that, as well as in all the other problems that Meese has gone entangled himself in. Another long article in the Washington Post titled, WedTech Mole Helps Secure Pontoon Project from the Navy. And this has to do with an agent named Richard Ramirez, who worked for Secretary of the Navy John Layman in 1983. And the powers that be wanted the WedTech Corporation to get the sole Navy contract. And it took a lot of coaxing and telephone calls, but not much if you understand John Layman's work with the counterintelligence group, his desire to build up this large Navy, his ego inflated by Ronald Reagan. He's very much part of the Henry Kissinger inside team and worked with Northrop and has been a very controversial person himself. So he and the Navy gave the sole contract through the U.S. Rapid Deployment Forces request, and the Navy reversed their position to turn over their program to the Small Business Association, and they gave it solely to another member of the Small Business Association named WedTech, run by a gentleman, Mr. Moreno. And Moreno started working with Ramirez in the fall of 83 and worked through the Washington-based Latin American Manufacturers Association And just to make the whole story short, you know the punchline now. WedTech got the corporate, their corporation got the money for this very expensive pontoon for the rapid deployment forces, and it went into WedTech that went bankrupt, and they were paying $30,000 for Ramirez to tell what the Secretary of Navy was doing, where they were meeting, and a spy was paid inside the Navy Department in order for WedTech to get the contract that it did. Now, listener to World Watchers, changing the subject now, lives in Kansas and sent me a long series of articles printed the same day in the Kansas City Times about Satanism and the growing awareness of Satanism and the conferences of various people and organizations throughout the country that are beginning to take this matter seriously. The two pages of newspaper that carried these stories had several subtitles. One is called Satanists Classified by the Police, and it has a very large picture, about 4x6, of Michael Aquino, page A20, March 26, 1988, and it tells about the different types of Satanism, and then it goes into the religious Satanists, the Church of Satan and the Temple of Set in San Francisco, and quotes Sandy Gallant from the San Francisco Police Department, and Anton LaVey, who founded the Church of Satan in San Francisco, and it refers to the Satanic Bible, and there's an explanation of the Church of Set, the Temple of Set of Michael Aquino, and his wife Lilith, who are suspects in a child molestation case but haven't been charged, and this is a large part of that article. The next part of the article, which is very, very important, and I've discussed this with several people, has to do with the therapist, the psychologist, psychiatrist, child psychiatrist, adults, people treating adults, and not being aware of the horrors of cult satanic abuse and treating symptoms as being caused by other factors, but are now, thank goodness, rethinking the whole problem of therapy to include victims of Satanism. And this article from the same Kansas City Times goes into the fact that while police go through physical clues and look for problems of satanic rituals and crimes, they're sending their evidence to therapists, and various therapists are asking or inquiring and getting out of particular patients the fact that they were involved in satanic cults, a fact that has never hardly been in the minds of therapists up until this point. And one person is quoted in this article, Al Sarno, a psychotherapist who said he had 35 clients who have been involved in satanic cults. Either they were victims of them or they were abusers, and they described rituals, sexual abuse, children being abused, slashing of flesh, urinating, defecating on victims. He worked more than 100 cases and consulted expert witnesses. In criminal cases, another therapist, Janet Bunker, described and discovered in 1985 that with a little psychological help, she learned from her client that this client and others were victims of sexual abuse and recalled rituals of satanic cults. And then Janet Bunker said that there were no books to read on this. There was no suggestion of treatment for the trauma. And many of these victims have also been victims of amnesia and brainwashing. Therapists said the victims have developed coping mechanisms to survive. They mentally disassociate themselves from vile acts they committed or witnessed or endured, and therefore develop multiple personalities. Our minds are not prepared to deal with this trauma, to see people cut open, said Daryl Miller, another clinical social worker at the Johnson County Mental Health Center in Kansas. Miller said he has 8 clients who were involved in Satanism, and 3 of the 8 saw human sacrifices where human beings were killed. And this article continues, there's a group called Overcomers Victorious in Garden Grove, California, and they're talking about Satanism beginning with people young at the age of 10 or earlier. And one particular victim of Satanism, Jacques Valodis, said that she had developed more than 100 personalities when she left the cult a few years ago. Now the therapists are looking into the symptoms of satanic ritual abuse, and Pamela Klein, of Chicago, is working as a therapist trying to help victims of these crimes who have been sexually abused and seen murders. And satanic cult conversation comes in, and these clients, starting when they were just 4 years old, and they're now being given clay and plastic to play out what happened, and the therapists are learning, really, for the first time, actually, what went on in these cults and how it affected these people later. And there's quotations in this article about 2.5 years ago, an injection of sodium amytal in a Kansas City hospital and subsequent hypnosis unlocked a mental door that a woman had slammed when she was 12 years old, and what emerged was repeated molestation from the ages of 3 or 9 by male relatives, memories of sexual abuse, and murder committed on Halloween by a satanic cult in Missouri, and black-robed adults and makeup that was ghoulish, and being bitten by snakes and hung upside down over a fire. And during a ceremony, an unknown man was stabbed to death, and those present drained his blood, they drank it, and they ate his flesh, and then the remains were thrown in the fire. And this particular person who went through all this is now a law student at the University of Missouri, Kansas City, and the highway patrolmen are looking into her case because she experienced this herself. Another part of that article that took up 2 full pages is about the police attention turning to satanic crimes. In fact, the title of it, Prevalence of Cults Debated, and it quotes a FBI agent, Ken Lanning, who at times isn't quite sure how bad this is and is pulling back to totally admit how prevalent the matter is. But the article says, nevertheless, an increasing number of police officers with national and regional reputations for investigating cult-related crimes say the reports have been increasing in the 1980s, particularly among teenagers. Last December, 3 school seniors allegedly beat a classmate to death in Missouri. There were other deaths described, satanic deaths in New Jersey. Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker in Los Angeles, was involved with Satanism and the devil, drawing pentagrams on bodies. And the molestation of children in Manhattan Beach McMartin School is mentioned in this article. And then it goes into the police studying the occult. Larry Jones of Boise, Idaho, is going into it. Jones is director of the Cult Crime Impact Network. That's another group of 1,200 law officers looking into this matter. And in Chicago, there is a group looking into the satanic rituals and murders. And in San Francisco, under the auspices of Sandy Gallant, she is lecturing and is active in putting together information on the occult. Also, there is the Cult Awareness Network News, and that is a newsletter that comes out of Chicago, and I have the address for you here. If you want to subscribe, it is $25 a year, and I obtained all the back copies of Cult Awareness News Network, and Cult Awareness Network, it's called. And you can send for that if you want and subscribe to it and then go to the back copies if you want. And this organization describes all kinds of cults, but they just, in their last issue, had some parts about Michael Aquino and the Satanism that is prevalent in San Francisco. And there's a lot in Missouri where Michael Aquino just happens to live with his activity in the Army Reserve. Also, the FBI's Behavioral Science Unit in Quantico, Virginia, is studying sexual victimization of children, survivors of satanic cult abuse. They're coming out of the woodwork. And a Leawood police officer in Kansas is president of the Lost Child Network based in Leawood. And he has a task force of 50 enforcement officers and therapists who begun to discuss the allegations of satanic crime in Kansas City. Then the article continues, there is an urgent need for the mental health community, the local police departments, to check into this problem. And Mr. Miller had 8 clients who had been involved in Satanism, 3 who actually reported the human sacrifice. I mentioned that it was written in this article twice. In recent years, Kansas City area police departments receive reports of animal mutilations, naked people dancing, chanting around fire, cemetery vandalism, all linked to occult groups, but unfortunately it's gone on a long time before people take it seriously. And I repeat again, I had many articles on murder, satanic murders and rituals, and just had them in my files in some loose form, and didn't realize how prevalent it was and how serious it was and the importance of it going to members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the NATO forces or doing rituals in Himmler's castle. Now, this article tells about investigations of threats against three girls who said they were told they would be victims of satanic sacrifice. And I read this past weekend that a large group of children from a town in Missouri, the girls were kept in because they were told a young girl and a virgin would be sacrificed this past weekend. And so the schools were closed because of the fear that this was going to happen. In Kansas, Sergeant Kurt Matthews, who's supervisor of the Missing Persons Unit for Missouri Highway Patrol, said police agencies around the state are investigating reports of ritualistic crimes, some of them satanic, and the Kansas City Police are saying that they've heard stories about neighbors who were frightened. They heard screaming, they see a fire, and there were rituals, satanic rituals, with a question mark at a place called Longview Farm. A young woman who's a client of a Kansas City psychotherapist said she saw animals and she saw human satanic sacrifices in this farm in the 1960s, and that there was activity in this farm for this purpose, and the sacrificial rituals would last all night, and then they would burn everything up at the end, and what they didn't burn, they would bury, and then they would leave it before the sun came up. The law enforcement officers and therapists interviewed have received unverified reports of satanic rituals. The majority of the law enforcement are in no way prepared to handle this kind of information. This is in the article. They don't know what to do with it. Wichita police officers had to take a crash course in satanic crimes after a nude body of a 15-year-old was found face down in the mud. She was stabbed in the throat and chest, hands tied behind her back. Sergeant Hill wants to develop a regional network of law enforcement officers, child abuse investigators, mental health professionals going into Iowa, Nebraska, Missouri, Kansas, Illinois to share information on the occult. It's very good that these people are catching on and sharing and combining their knowledge of the symptoms now of what is happening. And the article, as I say, covers two whole pages of the newspaper, and it's very important that I share it with you to see how these slow learners like myself are catching on, and they're in charge of investigations or in the therapy of people with mental problems, and it had never occurred to them to go into these matters. Janet Banker, a local therapist who's been treating cult survivors, said people who have witnessed or been victims of crimes often haven't been taken seriously by the mental health professionals, and also after examining 30 patients in Illinois in the mental institutions, people recounted these crimes, but again, nobody took them seriously, or when they heard about murders, drug rings, child prostitution, pornography, kidnapping, the satanic part was just that little element that was left out. And Mr. Jones of Cult Crime Impact Network said, "It's pandemic. It is so bad." A Mr. Bean said, "Each individual case has to be investigated for criminal activity, not for the religious beliefs of the person, but do they kill? Are they murderers?" And then there's some quotations by Maury Terry, who wrote The Ultimate Evil, that said there's a compelling evidence of the existence of a nationwide network of satanic cults. Some align more closely with others than some are on the fringe of being aligned, and others are very closely aligned. And then Jacques Balladi, who I quoted before, a former satanic cult member who runs Overcomers Victorious, said that she has counseled more than 200 people in the last 8 years that were part of satanic cults, many who escaped only with clothes on their back. And she believed, after seeing this many, that it's plausible that 50,000 humans each year are sacrificed in satanic rituals. Bodies are never found, again, because they are mutilated, eaten, burned, and buried. That death threat that I got saying you're going to be off the air, period, remember, said that you'll never be found again. You will be taken off with the head blown off and nobody will find a trace of you. And this appears over and over, that these missing people, missing children, missing adults, there is not a trace left of them. This person who was part of satanic ritual said, "We did a lot of child sacrifice," she said. "Children who are kidnapped or born into the cult are used for sacrifices, And she claims her first two children were among the victims. And this woman was on Oprah Winfrey telling about that. Or I forget which one, whether it was Geraldo Rivera, Oprah, talking about these sacrifices and breeding children to be killed. Catherine Gould, a Los Angeles area psychologist, says she gets calls from therapists all over the country. And their problem is they can't get any preschools closed or daycare centers when they think children are being abused, that nobody will prosecute the case. They drop the case, and they don't want to believe the children's stories. She said she's seen 20 children who have been subjected to ritual abuse in the past few years, and she's compiled a list of satanic ritual abuse symptoms that are circulated in children who have been ritually abused in preschool and child care settings, have formed, again, another group, nationwide group, called Believe the Children. So there's about six active groups right now. Believe the Children is a 300-member group formed in October 1986, and Gould says children can be brainwashed, you know, into the Satanism and the killings and the black magic power that goes with it. FBI agent Mr. Lanning, who's a moderate on the subject, has admitted in this article that too many police officers are taking an all-or-nothing approach to this matter. If they can't prove a murder occurred, they discount the child's entire story. The allegations of a national or international network of Satanism and criminals that work and kidnap children and sacrifice thousands of them is purportedly almost an accepted fact now from reports in San Francisco and other places around the country. If what some of these people are saying is true, this is by far the greatest crime story in the history of man. And that's a quotation from Sandy Gallant in San Francisco. And when you add to that the story of Michael Aquino at Heinrich Himmler's castle, duplicating rituals that the Church of Set does, worshiping Satan and having the swords of the Waffen-SS, the Gestapo, it is truly the greatest crime conspiracy in the history of man. And I believe that these are the factors that wanted me off the air, linking the occult to the military. It is the greatest crime conspiracy. That comes from Sandy Gallant in San Francisco, who knows and knew since 1982 things about Michael Aquino, and nobody would prosecute him. And she refers to a murder in San Francisco, a derelict picked off the street, his killer carved an inverted pentagram in his chest, dripped candle wax on his body, drained his blood, sexually mutilated him, and devoured parts of his body. This is going on in San Francisco. And rumors of sacrifice are taking place in Lucas County in Ohio. The sheriff reported digging up, looking for bodies, and looking for a cult of 200 people stretching from Ohio and Michigan that have been sacrificing five persons each year since 1969. I don't know how they come across with that figure unless somebody told them that who participated, but if it's 19 years and you have five people a year, that's still 65 bodies approximately, if I add it up fast enough. And to get those killed every year is enough to scare the other members into obeying and doing what you want. And this article concludes, despite the lack of bodies, Larry Dunn, a Washington State Sheriff deputy and member of the Cult Crime Impact Network, is the one who also believes 50,000 sacrifices are reasonable. March the 1st, the FBI had a list of 61 names missing, and Mr. Dunn said he encountered more than 170 survivors of satanic cults, and they reported seeing human sacrifices. So this is a long article, two pages. I wanted to share it with you from the Kansas City newspaper about the occult, and it is getting into the Midwest and into the FBI and the consciousness of the therapist. So that's a good start, because you have to have those kinds of breakthrough to recognize the problem. I'll take a one-second break while we turn the tape over. It's only 30 minutes on each side, and as fast as I do that, I'll continue on side two of this tape.